Our scriptures, both our first reading and our gospel this weekend, speak about being witnesses to the ends of the earth. And when I think of a witness, the first image that comes to mind is like a court case, where you give testimony, where you say, I was there, I saw it, here's what I saw, or here's what I heard. But can that really be us when Jesus lived 2,000 years ago? I mean, can we really be his witnesses? He commands us to be. Perhaps the first key to being a witness is that we must immerse ourselves in the life of Jesus Christ. If we don't know the story of Jesus, I mean, if a coworker came up to you and said, tell me about Jesus' life, could you give them a 5-minute summary of Jesus' life? Would you hit upon the major points? You see, brothers and sisters, number one, we must know our scripture. And we do that through daily reading, using things like devotional Bibles. You can even make it fun. Watch the Bible movies, right? I still remember to this day as a kid, the voice of God calling out to Charlton Heston, Moses, right? I mean, it sounded, and that stuff sticks in your head. And I was fortunate enough to be brought up in a family where those are the kind of movies we watched. Probably watched some others, you know. But share those with your children. Immerse yourself in the biblical times so you get a feel for what it was like. Number two, you must have daily personal prayer. You see, prayer is not just about reciting something to make God happy so he won't kill you or send you to hell, but about establishing a relationship with the very one who did die, rise, and ascend. So if we want to be witnesses, if we want to tell people about the God who ascended, Jesus Christ who ascended, well, get to know him. That's essentially all prayer is a conversation with God. It just so happens that we do a lot of talking and a lot of listening. We do this particularly through Eucharistic adoration. Do you realize that the same Jesus Christ who walked this world 2,000 years ago, the same Jesus Christ who suffered and died for your sins, the same one that rose and today ascended into heaven, is the same Jesus Christ who sits before you, waiting for you to come and adore him, so that you can be his witnesses? We must immerse ourselves in knowing Jesus Christ. Secondly, I think being witnesses can often be a challenge because we have to tell other people about Jesus. Number one, we got to know him or we don't even know what to say to people. But number two, let's face it, a lot of us are chicken. I mean, how many times, and I'm a priest, you know, I wear like the black thing with the white square. And I'm still sitting in Starbucks, you know, in the drive-thru getting my coffee. And there's something inside of me that's apprehensive about saying God bless you to the tattooed and pierced young lady behind the window. Because I think, oh, she's going to hate me. What am I worried about? If she attacks me, I'll just drive off, you know? What are we so scared about to tell people about Jesus? And as if his message were that threatening. I mean, it's not like I'm a Muslim and I've been asked to go out and tell people about jihad. That would be scary. People might not like it. I've been commissioned to go out and tell people that God became man to die for their sins and rise again and wants them to share in that same resurrection. That's good news. But we're often stopped by fear. You know, the disciples, that day were probably thinking, you know, wait, Jesus, you can't go. Look at all the good you're doing. You know, why are you leaving us? What will we do without you? In fact, they pleaded with him. I mean, he died, rose again, and then said he's going to leave again. I mean, put yourself in their shoes, the fear they must be experiencing. And they think the same thing that happened to Jesus might happen to them. Pope Francis, not too long ago, said this: in virtue of their baptism, all the members of the people of God have become missionary disciples. All the peoples. All the baptized, whatever their position in the church or their level of instruction in the faith. So guys, you don't have to be a theology major. Are agents of evangelization, and it would be insufficient to envisage a plan of evangelization to be carried out by professionals while the rest of the faithful would simply be passive recipients. But how many of us, brothers and sisters, view the Catholic Church that way? That it's the priest's job. It's the hired minister's job. It's the church secretary's job or the school principal's job. No. The new evangelization calls for personal involvement on the part of each of the baptized. Every Christian is challenged here and now to be actively engaged in evangelization. Indeed, anyone who has truly experienced God's saving love does not need much time or lengthy training to go out and proclaim that love. I think maybe the other challenge that we run up against when we want to tell other people about our faith or about Jesus is that we kind of feel like, is my faith worth sharing, right? I mean, I have my doubts or my fears. There's things I don't know about God. There's things I don't feel like I can explain well. We think we have to have a perfect faith before we have something to share. Well, guess what? Pope Francis has a word for you, too. Of course, all of us are called to mature in our work as evangelizers. We want to have better training, a deeper love, and clearer witness to the gospel. In this sense, we ought to let others be constantly evangelizing us. But this does not mean that we should postpone the evangelizing mission. Rather, each of us should find ways to communicate Jesus wherever we are. All of us are called to offer others an explicit witness to the saving love of the Lord, who, despite our imperfections, offers us his closeness, his word, and his strength, and gives meaning to our lives. Our falling short of perfection should not be an excuse. That's his words, not mine. On the contrary, mission is a constant stimulus to remain mired in mediocrity. Not to remain mired in mediocrity, but to continue growing. The witness of faith that each Christian is called to offer leads us to say with St. Paul, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." One of my two television shows that I record and watch, don't judge me if you don't like it, is a show called Blue Bloods, about the police in New York and a family there, supposedly Catholic. And I was watching it the other night, and they had an episode where a guy had seen a crime, but he was scared to testify. he was scared to give his witness because he was afraid of what would happen to him. And brothers and sisters, Satan will attack us at every opportunity. Just like the drug dealer that was threatening this guy and his family and making him so scared that he didn't want to testify, don't you think Satan would do the same to us? He doesn't want your coworkers to hear about Jesus. He doesn't want them to hear about the life-giving good news that God has for them. And so he's going to make you scared. He doesn't want the tattooed and pierced young lady at Starbucks to hear about Jesus. So he makes me scared. They may make fun of us. We could lose our job. We may think we're not trained well enough or know enough. But none of that matters. You know, in court, what is it called when you withhold your testimony? Being in contempt, right? In fact, you can go to jail for being in contempt, for withholding your testimony. When we go before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, will he find us in contempt? Will he find you in contempt? Will he find me in contempt? We must be a witness to the risen Christ by knowing him through scripture, prayer, and adoration. And we must take that scary step to witness to Jesus Christ, even if it means persecution. Even if we don't feel like we have a faith worth sharing. But let us not be held in contempt for our failure to witness.